Remember, that's www.scottytripp.org. Now stay tuned, because Hank will be right back as the Bible Answered and radio broadcast continues. Many love the Lord and want to be fruitful as Christians, but like those in Hosanna's time, they perish through the lack of knowledge. That's why CRI's headquarters is so crucial. Our new resource center will function to keep Christians equipped and empowered for the daily battles that we face in post-Christian culture. Now, as we work to build CRI's new resource center and place these essential resources at the disposal of literally millions of Christians around the world, we can only move forward with the support of partners like you. And to say thanks for your support in this strategic effort, and to help equip you as you contend for the faith, Hank would like to send you a copy of Knowing Scripture, written by R.C. Sproul. Just ask for radio offer number 397. Now, your willingness to stand side by side with us to play a crucial role on the front lines of CRI's ministry is very important. God bless you richly for the difference that your partnership makes in so many lives. Once again, thank you for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast and, you know, for CRI. 1996 will clearly go down as one of the most significant years in our 36-year history. Now, we've taken a bold step of faith and moved into our new international headquarters building. We're here right now. And this move will alter the future of the gospel and apologetics worldwide. A long-term effect is nothing short of staggering. And to thank you for your gift of $15 or more to Project Faith, Hank would like to send you his new tape, Classic Christianity. Just call us at 714-858-6100. Or if you're using a credit card, the number is toll-free, 888-7000-CRI. This message will help you to discern between classic and genuine Christianity as you stand with us in 1997. And until next time, God bless you.
And welcome back to the Bob Lenten broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hennegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today, inviting you to join us on air with your question in the U.S. or Canada. Now, dialing 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember our address, the Christian Research Institute, Box 7000, Rancho Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. So, Irene, brought up some good questions for Joe and for Greg. I think we need to spend just a moment on a couple of issues. Number one, she brought up Christmas and Easter, and a lot of people believe that Christmas and Easter have to be jettisoned because at one time they were worship holidays for pagan deities, and yet very few people realize that this was a bold evangelistic effort on the part of the church to seize what was paganized and turn it into an opportunity to say the real solution is found in Christ.
Absolutely right, Hank. It's sad that some people don't realize that these days were claimed as trophies by Christianity. And Irene's last point was, God doesn't change, so why would you want to keep these days? And the answer is, that's right, God doesn't change. He created all the days, He owns all the days. The pagans can't take Him away from Him. And if He owns the days, we can use the days to His glory, regardless of what the pagans did on one particular day or another, because in fact, the pagans did wrong things on every day.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we single out one or two days as their high days and say we can't use them? That's kind of a reverse legalism. Everything's in God's providence. We claim those days. And the second message I would tell her is that the message of Christianity is don't take Christ out of the days, because if you do, then you are going back to paganism. Christ needs to be central to our celebration every day, and especially in Easter time and Christmas time. And that's the message that I see on marquees as I drive by churches, as I read church literature. Put Christ in Christmas. Don't let the world, don't let secularism, don't let American consumerism take Him out. Because that's the reason for the season, so to speak. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Yeah, Greg, you guys walk a tightrope here. I notice constantly the tension that you must feel between those who, on the one hand, would say, look, you're not hard enough on Herbert W. Armstrong. You ought to dig him up and burn him at the stake to really
demonstrate your disdain for some of the doctrine. On the other hand, you have people that say, look, why are you castigating Herbert W. Armstrong? I mean, why are you saying these mean things about him? And so I have noticed that there is that wisdom that you have to have where you're not driving people into splinter groups, where you're not fracturing the body. And that is not because you're compromising. It is because, on the one hand, you have a very significant tactical problem on your and on the other hand, there is no real value on burning someone after the fact. You can speak the truth, but you want to speak it in love.
Right. And the issue that a lot of people wrestle with is the person of Herbert W. Armstrong. And, of course, it's not the first time in history that people have wrestled with the issue of a major leader in their life, whether he's still alive or she, or deceased. And what do I do now with their teachings when I examined the Word of God and thought that, and found that, you know, that I need to make some changes, but I don't know if this person, whether it's maybe even a father or mother, or this religious leader, would be happy with me. We have the gamut from people saying, Herbert Armstrong is doing backflips in his grave. He's not just rolling over in his grave, he's doing backflips in his
going
grave.
To high rotation.
He is absolutely so upset with you. To the other side saying, Herbert Armstrong is in heaven cheerleading for the changes in the Worldwide Church of God. Now, which do we believe? Well, that's everybody's choice. But the caller was, I think, trying to come to the issue of what is a Christian? Is a Christian someone who keeps a lineup of doctrines, of facts and maybe partial facts, of biblical interpretations that number 800 or 900? And in fact, this is what happened in our fellowship and over a period of years. There were a critical mass of truth, and this truth was an amassed group of teachings that Christmas is pagan. You shouldn't wear makeup. You shouldn't eat pork. You better not be keeping this. You better go to the doctors. Don't go to the doctors, et cetera, et cetera. Then we hit critical mass. Or for some people, it was a higher level, but there was a level that we hit, and then people would say, I'm out of here because you've just reached bedrock, and I can't go any further with you because you've thrown out too many truths. But in fact, these truths were not biblically based. They were extra additional things that are really at best peripheral, which have been made into this huge straw man, and assume gigantic importance to people's lives. So the issue is what we had to come to is not Herbert Armstrong, but the issue is Jesus Christ. Who will we follow? And I'm not trying to set Herbert Armstrong in some horribly negative position in that regard, because as you said, some people are coming to us now and saying, well, you know, if you're really Orthodox Christian, and if you're really an evangelical Christian, then why are you still meeting on Saturday? And I respond to them, well, what are you saying? Why don't you just go ahead and tell me what you're saying? If I don't meet on Sunday, I can't be a true Christian? Is that what you're saying? Well, not exactly. Well, it sounded like to me that you were telling me that. I believe that I can meet, worship God and Jesus Christ any day of the week, and that no day of the week is against the will of God as long as I am worshiping God and not worshiping the day. The fact is that in the Worldwide Church of God, we worship the day, not the Lord of that day. And Jesus makes that quite clear in the New Testament. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So that's the issue that I think she was struggling with. Is it Herbert Armstrong or historic Christianity? And that's the issue we've struggled with.
And one of the things that I have appreciated about the way in which you've made changes, albeit it is a difficult process, is that you're not as much now saying, look at us, we have found the truth, and therefore we are going to now throw stones at those who have not. What you have really focused in on is making people so familiar with the core doctrine of historic Christianity that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, whether you've embraced it yourself or you see it in some other group, you know it instantaneously. So you're focusing in teaching core evangelical truths and trusting that as people embrace those, as they make Scripture the final court of arbitration, that the other things are going, in fact, to be called into question in their own minds.
That's right. I just like to say that these changes that have occurred in the world of Church of God have been the work of the Holy Spirit, and a remarkable and historic reformation of God, a miracle. They have not happened because of us. They have happened in spite of us. We have been in the way most of the time. We have had to get out of the way. We have watched. We are watching what God has done, and we glorify Him for what He has done. But let there be no mistake. It was not some superior mind. It was not some theological approach. It was God who did this in spite of us, not the God.
Let me make just a couple of comments, perhaps lead you with a question here. There have been people, certainly in counter-cult ministry, that have looked at the pattern I have set and developing a relationship with you guys and spending time with you and so forth, and really see that as a way in which I'm selling out because I'm not hard enough on you. I'm not holding your feet to the fire and saying, why are you not making changes fast enough, etc. All kinds of criticisms that come from people who perhaps don't know all the details.
Exactly true. I think one of the things that I've experienced or observed with the people that I've interacted with is many of the people that work in counter-cult ministries come from a background of, let's say they were formerly Jehovah's Witnesses or formerly Mormon or what have you. And they can't help themselves, but they see everything through the lens of their former experience. And they overlay their experience, their paradigm, on you. And it's not an accurate paradigm or overlay that they place upon you. And they make assumptions that are not accurate assumptions. And the net effect has been that they have set back the work that the Holy Spirit was doing, and I don't know if they fully realized that, but they ended up undermining our own credibility with our own people with an approach of trying to get a scoop or expose and misreporting or assigning motive where such motive didn't exist and undermined our own effectiveness in speaking and communicating with our own people. And that's been a really major battle. I don't think some of those people will ever realize how many people they prevented from hearing the truth by undermining our own credibility with it.
One important thing I think that Jill and I have seen, Hank, through the work that you're doing here at CRI, is that evangelism means first being a friend, first having a relationship. One of our callers earlier in the hour was talking about her husband, and you know, at one time I would have thought the best thing was to beat somebody over the head with the Bible or with my set of doctrines, or that I couldn't talk to them anyway, so I just ignore them because they're deluded. When in fact, evangelism says that, E.T. Niles said that Christianity is one beggar leading another beggar to bread, showing that beggar, telling that beggar where he found bread. If you know where the bread of life is, how can you do anything other than tell somebody else where that bread is, but first, for them to believe you as to where that bread is, you've got to be careful and befriend them so that they will find credibility in you and in your message, because you know where that bread is. But just going up to them and maybe announcing that may not be the best. You very carefully believed us and developed a relationship with us, and I think that's quite a testimony and has helped us.
You've come alongside us, but I think in accordance with God's prophets, gave us the encouragement we needed to have, and we are forever grateful to you for that. I know you'll identify with this.
Now, Joe, before you go on, I might just say that Hank's going to buy us dinner for that.
Yeah.
So the listeners will.
I know you'll identify with this thought, that when people hear what we say, often, because they don't want to hear what we're saying, the way their ears hear what we're saying is, oh, you're just bashing Herbert Armstrong. You're just running him down. How terrible of you. When, in fact, that is not at all our motive. That's not at all our goal. That's not what we're doing. Just like I love my dad, I am adult and mature enough to realize my dad wasn't perfect, and he made this mistake or that mistake. It doesn't change my love for him. Love him dearly. The same thing is true of Herbert Armstrong. He had some very flawed teachings. And I know you run across providence, when you point out that someone is teaching something that's false or hurtful, often people will hear it as you bashing the person or running that person down, when in fact that's not at all what you're doing. You're simply trying to point out this person's teaching something that's very bad. When you have relationships with people and you see one person saying something that's hurtful to another person, you want to go in there and say, don't say this hurtful thing. And it doesn't mean you dislike the person. It doesn't mean you're running that person down. It means you want to help, come alongside, and be an encouragement and show where the thing that's being said is wrong. That's what we're trying to do. And I feel badly that any of our people or anyone else would have received the things we've said in such a manner. If we've said it badly, if we've explained the truth in a way that was offensive, we apologize. That's not what we want to do.
As always, every time you guys visit, the time just flies by, and today is no exception. I have about a minute to wrap up the show. Would you guys be willing to stay in studio for another hour? We got a board full of callers. Take some other calls. Everybody's hanging on the line right now. Please be patient. Greg, Joe, we'll get to your calls and try to answer them. So please be patient with us. We just have such a joyful relationship, just getting together, fellowshipping, because we have the same core identity. We find our identity in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring, something to that cross that I claim. And as always, it's been great to have you guys with us. If you want a copy of this tape, all you have to do is write to Christian Research Institute, Post Office Box 7000, Rancho Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. You can call 714-858-6100, whether you can use the MasterCard or the Discover Card, 888-7000-CRI. I'm out of time. We'll see you next time with more.
Well, thank you so much once again for joining us today for the Bible Answer Day on radio broadcast. And if you haven't visited our internet site yet at www.equip.org, I encourage you to do so right now. In fact, you can now catch the Bible Answer Man broadcast live around the world every day on the World Wide Web at www.equip.org. Now, our goal is to place desperately needed apologetic ammo into the hands of Christians around the world contending for the truth. Together, we can make the World Wide Web a strategic outreach for worldwide ministry. And again, that's www.equip.org. And until next time, on behalf of Hank Hanegraaff and the entire staff at CRI, thanks for joining us, and God bless you.